Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
Here comes Doghouse Worthy.
And the Bulldog.
Macchiato!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I don't know. Funny every time. What can I say?
Macchiato.
Try just shouting that if you're at a party this weekend, just an impression of Bulldog and see who in the room recognizes it. I may do that. Tyler Dunn joins us now on the West Her Hotline, golongtd.com at Ty Dunn. Tyler, how long has it been? Months, I think. Wow.
Way too long. I think we both were kind of sick along the way. We were ships passing in the night.
Yes.
But we should at least text each other about, you know, basketball and cards and nonsense. So let's pick it back up. We still got time.
Yeah,
I think Tyler and I had a visit while you were away at some point in February or March. I don't remember now when that was.
Well,
but sometime I remember being with you, Tyler, when I was by myself. So anyway.
Yeah, you got the license plate number for that shopping cart.
Right. I had that story about the – yeah, right. Yeah.
Somebody left a cart in the parking lot and Bulldog.
No, it wasn't
vigilante.
Just that. This person worked really hard to leave the shopping cart. Like, they had to prop it up into, like, a little curb thing so it wouldn't roll around. And, like, the amount of work that was put in to keep the cart stationary, they could have walked – back and forth to the cart corral 5 times. I mean, it was just absurd. And I just stood there with my arms folded watching it, and then the person just drove right past me, and I just stared at them the whole time, and I went and got the cart, and I put it in the corral.
But
I'm like the cart corral sheriff now, apparently, at the Dashers on Hurdle. That's my job.
Well,
you should have stepped in and, you know, like we talked about. And
yeah, I know.
Punishment, but that's okay. We'll get him next time.
When the station in the parking lot where you put the cart is wide enough for two rows, do you make sure, like, if you have a big cart, not to run it up behind a little cart?
I try to appropriately park the cart.
Me too. But first, I like to shoot it like it's a a curling shot or something. I make sure nobody's about to, you know, walk by or anything. And then I'll be ready to run after it, so nothing's going to get hit. I like to shoot it right in there, and then if it just perfectly sort of curves right to that back corner, I wave to nobody.
There was a golf commercial that was a, like, I don't know if you started doing that because of the commercial.
Oh, there was? That's not original?
It comes into my head all the time because it was like, these guys are good, maybe, was like the tagline of the ad. And it's, you know, someone, pick a guy, Spieth, in a grocery parking lot and, like, does that. And it curls right in and right snugs up right up next to or right in line with the carts.
Never pick Spieth.
Yeah. I like it. Like Joe Namath holding up the number one on your way back to the car, right?
Yes.
Wave it.
Yes. All right, Tyler, thanks for being on. It's good to reconnect with you.
Yeah, be well.
All right.
It's a great chat.
Well, it's been a fun offseason, I would say. I don't really know exactly where to start. There's so many different topics league-wide. I'll just pick one. So I know you've written about the Giants, and – of course, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, like, to some extent, they're going to try to implement what worked for them here as a coach or as a GM. To what extent do you think that they want to do that, Tyler, if you know, and to what extent is it possible for them to, like, win maybe soon?
Honestly, I was really surprised that the Giants ripped that Band-Aid off. You know, when we did that series, it was mid to late December. Everything I was hearing was what everybody was hearing, that, you know, they wanted to run it back with Joe Judge, and not just that. I think that Joe Judge is going to have more power in 2022. And then maybe, you know, okay, Dave Gettleman, who they just, I guess they liked him so much they didn't want to unceremoniously fire him midseason like they did Jerry Reese. I mean, he's taking photos with his family on the sideline. I mean, he was given a hero's exit when he ran the team into the ground in every possible way. But, they wanted to hold his hand out the door, you know, promote Joe Judge and Kevin Abrams, you know, Kevin Abrams, he'd be promoted. And that was going to be it. And then, lo and behold, they just fall flat on their face. They lose in just embarrassing fashion for, what, 3-4 weeks? And they had no choice. So I guess you have to give the Maros credit, right, for being willing to go this extra mile and to start over when I think a lot of their problems in the past were they just kind of shuffled people around internally. They just kind of, you know, moved people from one department to the next. You know, Chris Mara is the head of the personnel department, and he's just kind of always there. But to their credit, they thought outside the box. They brought in some independent thinkers. They've empowered them. Chris Pettit, who's been there a while, their director of college scouting, he was let go after the draft. I think they're doing all the right stuff. It's just, it's going to be a long, long road, I think, for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll because, I mean, they've had to get rid of good players because they didn't have a choice, right? The salary cap was such a disaster. You just kind of let James Bradberry walk out the door. He's one of many. And Logan Ryan, same deal. Daniel Jones, I think you just kind of hang on to him because what's your better option? I don't think they wanted to just draft somebody and start that clock right away. So this year is probably survival for them. And then, you know, 2023, I think that Joe Shane kind of does what he did with Brandon Bean here in Buffalo. They're going to scout the hell out of these quarterbacks. They're going to be talking to everybody they can. This draft class should be a heck of a lot better next year at the position. And, yeah, unless Daniel Jones just, you know, looks like a different quarterback this year, that's when they'll try to make their move.
I want to remember what you said about the Giants at the outset here, that it seemed like status quo was, you know, they're going to just keep people in place, elevate people, give Joe Judge more power. The next time anyone wants to give fans crap for like rooting against their team. And this is a point to be made entirely separate from tanking, because if the Giants are, they're in a bad place, but they're in a, I think, a markedly better place with Shane and Daboll there than if they had done what you just suggested, Tyler, at the outset of your comments. And like, it just got so bad. Like Judge, and maybe not the least of it was like him talking. He just kept making the worst points ever. I got to get the punter going, you know, like all the just stuff that was just absurd. And I don't know, if I'm a Giants fan, I'm relieved that they at least moved on from him and it got bad enough that they had to.
Exactly. I mean, right. I mean, I'm not a pro tanker by any means. I think it can just, you know, poison your building beyond repair, as we kind of know, but they needed to absolutely fall flat on their face for ownership to be convinced to move on. For whatever reason, they just didn't want to do it. You know, they believed in Joe Judge. They thought that he was really implementing a really good culture. I mean, after I dropped part one of the story, I had a team official call me up and, you know, was kind of banging the table and all the great things that were going on behind the scenes. And I think they were really convinced that there was a lot of good going on. And it took, yeah, I mean, it took the loss to Dallas was bad. That was December 19th. But then you'd get absolutely demolished by the Eagles 34-10, the Bears 29-3, and then Washington 22-7. And you really can't do anything at all on either side of the ball. So that was the best thing that could have happened for the Giants. Absolute best thing. So just goes to show, yeah sometimes it is good because they kind of landed, you know, who I think outsiders would consider the best, if not one of the best GM candidates, one of the best, if not the best head coaching candidate. And we saw it all here in Buffalo. I think they're going to try to bring that there.
Don't you love it when those team people call you when you give them compliments? Don't you love that when that happens? Wait, that never happens, yeah. Actually. But no, yeah. When the other goes, Tyler would know better than me, I think, when it goes the other way. Very similar to the 17 Bills situation. You get that first year where maybe you can get away with almost anything. And sort of strangely coincidental is that Tyrod Taylor is on the Giant roster. And he's not likely to start or anything, but you just, you know, you play this year and we'll cut Marcell Dareus and just, you know, trade him and trade Watkins and everything that the Bills did. You know, it's funny, right, Tyler? Like, Allen has been such a smashing success. Certainly, there have been a lot of good moves. I mean, Diggs, most of all, maybe. But, like, without Allen, I don't know. It's a little bit unsettling how much randomness there is like that for. And I'd appreciate an executive who sort of admits it, that you have to get that right or else you're kind of just nowhere, at least for the most part.
That's probably why I think the Giants will win eventually more than any other reason, is Joe Shane just is going to understand that. He's not going to talk himself into winning with a C-plus quarterback, right? Like the Bills kind of did for X number of years. All right, get the running game going, you know, stop the run, you know, coach well here, coach well there, shorten the game. I mean, that stuff, it might work for a few weeks. He might start 4-1 with Trent Edwards and get everybody excited, but it ain't going to last. And I think that they know what Daniel Jones is. They're going to say all the right things, and surely Daboll will put him in great situations. But, you know, unless he is a star, they will be starting over a quarterback next year because of what you just said. I mean, it's that Midas touch. I mean, Josh Allen has just been a transcendent superstar in every possible way that coaches who might not be as great of coaches as they look really, really good. You know, the supporting cast looks really, really good. The defense is number one in the NFL. Allen has something to do with it. Everything is just better because of him. So, yeah, and that's how Joe Shane got the job, right? He's not becoming the GM without Josh Allen. So it's you really have to do your homework. Yeah. You have to travel the country, and they're going to be doing that all fall.
You know, they can say all the right things. I mean, everyone has the book on the right things to say about your quarterback if he's sort of, you know, floundering or just, you know, not established yet, right? So they can say all that. Their actions tell you exactly what they think. They didn't pick up the fifth-year option. Like, that tells you, I think, maybe all you need to know. Now, of course, if he shocks everyone and has some great year, you know, they have a safety net in the form of the franchise tag. But not picking up the fifth-year option, I think, just tells you maybe all you need to know about how they feel about him.
Totally. That says everything right there. And it will be interesting. I mean, they're going to try to win. They're not just going to, you know, try to run this thing into the dirt. I think that what's going to be interesting is, like with Allen, the Bills did probably more work than any other team when it came to figuring out who Josh Allen really was. And they could figure out, all right, this guy is going to just work harder than anybody in any room he's ever in, so the accuracy will improve. And I think other teams just couldn't get to that point. You know, it seemed like such a fatal flaw for a quarterback, and the Bills were willing to take that on. So, I don't know much about the 2023 class, but that's what you have to figure out, is what are people missing, and how do you just kind of cut away from the groupthink when it comes to these quarterbacks? Because if you make the right decision, everybody will get promotions, everybody will make money, and maybe right. Win a Super Bowl. If you don't, everybody will be fired.
Tyler Dunn with us. GoLongTD.com is Tyler's excellent site. So, Tyler, the Bills are the Super Bowl favorite, which means, of course, they are the AFC East favorite, and not by a little bit. If they were to not win the AFC East, what do you think would have happened? Either to them, or they might be pretty good, but somebody else is better. That almost happened last year.
Joe Judge is the second coming of Bill Walsh, right?
Turns out all this time, Joe Judge.
Bill Belichick knew what nobody else did. I mean, it's insane. I guess he's the offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, play caller. Nobody really knows what's going on in New England. I don't know. Like, I'm the last person to write off Bill Belichick, but I'm not too scared about the Patriots after you just curb stomped them twice after the win game. So I guess it would be Miami. They have their number, but it is everything they did was right this offseason. You hire just a brilliant offensive coach who's going to get the absolute best out of Tua. I mean, they're going to run the ball a lot. They've got four starting running backs on their team. They added linemen. Armstead at left tackle is one of the best. Obviously, Tyreek Hill is somebody the Bills are very familiar with. But Cedric Wilson, he's a solid number two, number three. You've got Jaylen Waddle. It's a scary offense. I mean, you can talk yourself into Miami because of the coach more than anything. He's just a really smart play designer, you know, with Kyle Shanahan. He was behind that ground game. So I guess that scares you a little bit because I don't think it's going to be the same old Dolphins that just kind of, you know, make the same old mistakes. And they didn't really have any smart offensive minds on the sideline the last few years. But I don't know. At the end of the day, it's hard to get past the discrepancy at quarterback. It's the difference between Josh Allen and Tua Tagovailoa we've seen twice a year.
Talking with Tyler Dunn, do I want to ask you about Green Bay? I mean, we always ask you at least one thing about Green Bay. I mean, you certainly give plenty of your sight to the Packers. I apologize for not knowing the name of the receiver you just wrote about this week. But
not many people do. It's okay.
Yeah. He's not
Freeman. Yeah.
Freeman. He's not coming up in my drafts.
I'm sorry.
Winfrey. He's not coming up in my drafts. Do you maintain that with Davante Adams gone that they'll be okay? I mean, the point about their lacking at wide receiver, which is a part of what your story was about, came up in here yesterday. Just we were talking about the league and like, what about, because I thought we were trying to figure out or find a particularly hot take for a quarterback, and I picked Rodgers. Like, Rodgers is going to slump and they won't be good, that kind of thing. I don't know if I even really mean that, but you know, we talked about it. So how, after all this talking, how egregious is the void left behind by Adams leaving?
You know, we're going to hear it for weeks and months, locally, nationally, that they haven't done enough for Aaron Rodgers. Every year, the tears just flow. It's, my God, he's a Hall of Famer. He's a four-time MVP. You just signed him to a three-year, $150 million extension. He should be elevating other players. Like, this isn't the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, making the trade for A.J. Brown to elevate Jalen Hurts, or the Dolphins trading for Tyreek Hill, or the Jaguars just signing everybody they can in March. It's you've got Aaron Rodgers. I just don't get that. I think that their offseason was fantastic. Their defense has just been adding a ton of talent up the middle, which is where they really needed it. They gave up a lot of yards on the ground last year. But, yeah, Sammy Watkins, you know, Christian Watson, Juwan Winfrey, Alan Lazard, I get it. They're not household names, but that's why you have Aaron Rodgers to kind of make these other players better. So I think they'll be fine. I think they'll score enough points, and they're just going to have to win a different way. They're going to have to win with defense, which isn't a bad thing. You know, the last two playoff losses at home, you know, Davante Adams, I think he was targeted 26 times, but, you know, both games that kind of ended in a thud. You know, mm-hmm. They've got to try to win a different game if they're going to get over the hump.
Tyler, I know this is like, you know, it's old news, but it's one of these deals where that Adams trade happened and there was so much news coming fast and furious that I feel like we never spent, I mean, we'll spend a whole day talking about cucumbers on this show, okay? Like, when Adams got traded, it was like there was another thing happened right after it and we just sort of kept moving, and it was like that for almost a whole week. It was reported that Green Bay would have matched the contract, but Adams still wanted to leave. Does that check out? Because that seems like it is a pretty big deal that he wanted to leave Aaron Rodgers.
It does. I think it's definitely a combination of factors. You know, he probably wanted to live closer to home, growing up in Palo Alto, I believe. That's like an hour flight to Vegas as opposed to, what, 6.5 hours? And him and Derek Carr, they're really good friends, if not best friends. And he was in his wedding. They train every off season, so they know each other really well. They lit it up at Fresno State together 8 years ago. I think that, yeah, it was just kind of time after 8 years of living in Wisconsin too. Hey, I loved living out there, and there were moments that I could live here the rest of my life, but you kind of reach a breaking point, right? Like, it's there's not a lot going on, and he probably doesn't mind Vegas as a new home. So I'm hesitant to say, oh, you know, he hates Aaron Rodgers. That's why he had to get the heck out of there. But I think it was, you know, all of this other stuff kind of factored in. But it caught Green Bay by surprise. I don't think they saw this coming.
Big offseason for old friend narratives with Adams and Carr and also A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. Who knew how close they were? But, you know, Disneyland and godfather to a child that, okay, cool. So A.J. Brown is now there in Philadelphia with Hurts. Got about 2 minutes here, Tyler. How good can they be this way?
Philly?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'm just not there with Jalen Hurts. He's a great fantasy quarterback, right? He'll get you some rushing yards, and maybe he'll throw for one or two. But if we've learned anything, I don't think you can make a living playing that way unless you're Lamar Jackson. And we both love Lamar Jackson, but I mean, that athleticism is going to run out. At some point, you have to operate from the pocket and take your layups and just again and again and again make the right throw. And we just haven't seen any of that out of him. So, you know what? I think a lot of people, you know, including myself at times, had the same doubts about Josh Allen when they kind of went all in with Stephon Diggs and surrounded him with weapons. And Allen figured it out. He worked really hard, improved his accuracy, and he might be the best quarterback in the league. So, you know, I don't want to just kind of write Hurts off right now, but I think that Howie Roseman might be undoing some of these contracts, you know, a year or two down the line.
All right, Tyler. We've covered it all. We've said it all. Football, carts. Any questions for us today?
You know what? Could you explain the NBA to me like I'm a 3-year-old? Because I haven't watched the game all year. We've got kids. Busy with the book, with work. Used to watch it all the time. I don't know what the hell's going on. So let's hear it. You hit me.
The story of the playoffs this year is the relative lack of close games.
Mm.
Which I maybe isn't so bad because I think of the NBA, like every game gets close. But this way you can sort of duck out early.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
The other way, you don't have to be there on time. This way, you can just duck out early, get to bed.
You are if you're like betting on these things or just keeping track of them or actually sitting there watching them, there are some scores like in, you know, the first half of games that you get, like I squint at my iPad when I'm looking. Like, wait, what is it? Are they down by 36? What? Like, what is even happening? How do you fall behind by that much in a half of basketball? You're professionals. It's incredible what's happening.
I mean, just drive to the hoop. Get a foul or two. You know, just slow the tempo. These things don't appear to be being done. They don't appear to be happening in the NBA playoffs. Tyler, always a pleasure. Have a nice weekend, and I hope it's not another however many weeks it's been since we talked before we talk again.
Oh, heck yeah. Any day, any time, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Tyler Dunn, at Ty Dunn, D-U-N-N-E, golongtd.com. Tyler, especially here in Western New York, is a great follow. He's out with Isaiah McKenzie or Jim Monos or different podcast guests, breweries. You can run into Tyler, and he's a good guy. Brian is next, the PGA. Brian's got big plans tonight, so he's not appearing at his usual time.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. We're happy to have him. Justin Thomas in the lead. How does Rory McIlroy look here on his first nine in round two? Tiger, that and more next with Brian. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Brian Koziol in just a moment, talking PGA, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. First, this. If you want to win the BookSeats.com Ultimate Football Flyaway to L.A. from May 23rd, that's Monday through June 12th, visit WGR550.com/contests and enter for your chance to win a trip for you and a guest to Los Angeles during the first week of the pro football season, including round-trip airfare, a two-night hotel stay, and a $1,000 gift card to BookSeats.com, a prize package valued at more than $4,000. One lucky winner will be randomly selected from all entries on June 13th, all courtesy of WGR Sports Radio 550 and BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I heard from a guy today via Twitter DM, Paul's his name, first name, and he sent me a message because he came across some memorabilia that he's gathered over the years and remembered that he won a trip to the Indy 500 on my old nighttime show on WBEN. Like, you know, whatever we're talking, like 1995 or 96 or something. Like, just awesome. So I hope somebody listening right now wins that contest.
Do you remember giving away a trip to the Indy 500? No? Brian.
Not really, no.
Brian, do you remember what you won on my game show that you were on?
I don't know what I won.
I hope we had a prize for you. Did your team win?
We lost in the finals to, I believe, Geneseo.
You lost in the finals.
On the stupid Dave Righetti question.
Yeah, I knew it was Yankees, but I forgot what the saves or something.
Stupid Dave.
Yeah, it was saves, and I don't know. Our team must have remembered Righetti as a starter, which I think he was, and not as a closer. And we had Rivera and Wetland, and you know all the not that you know it's fresh in my mind or it's still bitter in any way. But
yes,
we lost in the finals to rival Geneseo. It was a crushing defeat, but a very good memory, Mike, that I'm glad you did that. That was a fun time.
Yes, thank you. Brockport.
Brian and he was a starter. He had a no-hitter for the Yankees, didn't he?
He did on July 4th, 1983, I think, Righetti.
Yeah. I think you said, like, you know, maybe the top four all-time Yankee save leaders, and I think we had three of the four. We could not get Righetti. I think we just remembered him as a starter. And we were, you know, when you do the little huddle together talk there, but we could not figure out, we couldn't get the last one, so, and it ended up being Righetti, so I will remember his name forever. I think that would have been the question that made us win the prize that we can't remember whatever it was. Yes.
Yes. Well, Justin Thomas has the lead at the PGA. Rory McIlroy, who had the lead after yesterday, is playing now. It looks like he's getting a lot of 60-foot putt practice today.
Yeah, I mean, he's hitting greens, but as far away from the hole as possible, it seems to me.
Yeah, the conservative approach, I think, so far is something different than what we saw yesterday. But it could be the conditions are a little tougher today. I know the winds this morning were rough. It seems like it is dying down a little more, but maybe he's just playing a little safer, realizing that he doesn't maybe have to push it because he is right at the top of the board here. But, yeah, he's had a lot of long – he hasn't had any really makeable looks so far here today to try to go catch Thomas, who I just thought played amazing. We talked about it yesterday. Thomas got – maybe the worst end of the draw in terms of the conditions. Yesterday afternoon, the wind picked up. This morning, it was windy. And for him to go out and shoot 67 today, just played absolutely phenomenal. So he's looking as good as anybody.
Yeah, Thomas, 16 of 18 greens, I believe.
That's amazing.
I heard that, and I think even I heard Thomas talk about it, how they chose not to mow the greens last night because of the wind.
Yes, they did not want the balls to possibly be moving while they were on the greens. And they also thought it would really, really make for a long day and possibly delay players, you know, approaching the ball. And then it kind of has that like hovering kind of look to it because of the wind. So it's a rarity. I was listening to a video from Nick Faldo earlier this afternoon. He says he can't even remember the last time at a golf tournament that they did not cut the greens. He's like, sometimes they will not mow the rough or sometimes they'll, you know, do something less. But he said to not mow it at all, he said, was just something that he said almost just never happened. So a little surprising. So maybe, you know, you can be a little bit more aggressive putting today. But that was the reason why. They didn't want, with the wind today, if it possibly did get up to high gusts, for the ball to kind of be moving around on the green, which we've seen sometimes before in the majors when it does get really windy.
So I imagine they'll cut him tonight, though.
Yeah, I would think so.
I was distracted watching Rory miss a par putt. I'm speaking like someone who's, you know, gambling on him, whatever. I've got $10 invested. Although it'd be nice if he won for us, Brian, too. I mean, doubly nice for us because Mike doesn't have him in his thing.
Mike, you have now 1-2, right? You've got Thomas and Zalatoris?
Correct.
Yes, looking very good.
Thomas will be tough. I mean, he's been right there, you know, number one in the world, I believe, at times or at a time, won the PGA in maybe 17. And when I picked him, I said, maybe everybody says this about Justin Thomas, like, where's the next major? You know, like, where's the the big wins, because I think people expected that from him when he sort of showed up and won that tournament when he did. Maybe it's this week. Who knows? A lot of good players, but good start.
Yeah, he. It was funny. I was listening to him yesterday. He said that he feels he's underachieved in his career in majors. And maybe I would agree looking at it because of the fact that he hasn't won since 2017. I mean, he has the pedigree to be trained for events like this. His dad was a PGA professional. His grandfather was a PGA professional. So he's been around golf tournaments and golf courses and private lessons and all these things his whole life. So he's been groomed for events like this. And that's why he said even winning the PGA Championship was a very special major for him because, of course, it is run by the PGA professionals that run across the country, including his father and his grandfather. So this event is something that obviously means a lot to him. But he had said, too, because his dad's his swing coach, he felt his dad actually has not been hard enough on him. He's like, I need him to stop being my dad and start being my coach. He goes, it's nice to get an ego boost from time to time. But he goes, if something's wrong, he goes, I told him. He's like, Dad, you have to tell me. He goes, you're my coach. And he goes, I think he's been too much in dad mode over the last few years. And he goes, I think maybe that's a little small piece of why he hasn't gotten it done in majors. I don't know how much that matters, but I thought it was interesting. He's kind of calling out his dad a little.
He also made a change on his bag that Mackay, who was Mickelson's caddy, well, you might think the same thinking applies. You know, I want to win majors. This guy knows how to do that. He's been, you know, a part of big wins. So that could be interesting too.
How about Tiger, Brian? I mean, he's stabilized today, and he's in line to make the cut. I mean, there's still a whole back nine still to go, plus a couple. But, man, it's tough. Like, he almost feels to me like a sympathetic figure at this point, like hobbling around the course, and that's a weird thing to say about the greatest golfer who's ever lived, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think we all want to watch him limping. It's just – and – it's almost hard to like, it's like what, the crash in NASCAR? Like you don't want to say you like it, but you don't turn away. It's kind of like, are we watching him to see how bad the limp gets? Like, yeah. I want to watch him for golf. And he's had some good shots so far today, doing a much better job, I think, through seven holes that he's played so far of staying out of trouble. That's what got him into trouble yesterday. His tee game was terrible. But you're right. I mean, now I feel like probably this is how this season's going to go with Tiger, depending upon how many events he ends up playing in. But it's going to be more of the physically, can he get through it? Oh, if he makes the cut, we call that a big accomplishment versus what we normally would always do for Tiger is, well, if he doesn't win, he considers it a failed weekend. I mean, for the first time in his career, he actually talked about the Masters feeling like a win. He would never, of course, have ever owned up to that ever in his life. He's always about winning or nothing else. The fact that he said the Masters was a win just because he physically got through it, he considered it a win. So I just got to think that's how this year is just going to go. And, you know, for me that loves watching him play, and I'm sure a lot of people just like, this is maybe the only reason you're tuning in is to see Tiger. They're just, you know, golf fans that are like that. I guess we just got to take back expectations and say, look, he was in an accident that almost took his life. He almost lost his leg. Maybe just enjoy the handful of times we'll see him this year with the expectations are that he's probably not going to win and just enjoy the good shots that he hits. And then maybe next year and kind of come in with a different frame of mind of, hey, can he get back to maybe being competitive in these big events?
I wonder, like, it's just such a different mental headspace to be in, right? Like, he's hobbled. He's obviously in some discomfort, if not flat-out pain. And he's a stroke above the cut line right now and still has he's teeing off on 8 right now. So there's still the whole back 9 to go. Like, I wonder about just the headspace. Like, is it tempting to, like, just think, I don't really need to play this weekend? Like, I know that seems insane to think about someone who's been as competitive as him, but, man, I guess I'm admitting that would be working on me. Like, if I'm in that kind of pain, like, what am I doing out here?
Yeah, especially if he knows – like, look, I don't have it to go out and shoot 65 and get myself actually back in contention in this tournament. So, yeah, I wonder, knowing him, though, I mean, I think you're right. I think that's probably what 99.9% of the world would be thinking. But maybe for him, he's still out there thinking, I can compete with the best here because I'm Tiger. And, you know, that's probably why he is been so successful in his life.
Brian, anybody else you like that maybe we haven't mentioned?
Well, it's, I think Zalatoris is interesting. I mean, obviously he's in second, so to say that he's in contention is the obvious thing. But he still hasn't won on the tour. You and I have talked the last few days about how he shows up in majors, and I saw an interesting nugget that in the last 40 years, there's four American golfers that actually got their first win in the PGA Championship, and the names were interesting. In fact, I think we could probably get it if you want to do a little trivia here. Three of the four you would definitely know. Three of the four got their first win in the PGA Championship. Two of them have a Rochester connection. Can you get those two?
Duffner, who won, or McKeel, who won there?
McKeel's first ever and only win.
Not Duffner.
There in 03, and not Duffner. Think of a different.
How about Sluman?
Sluman's first ever win. Was the PGA Championship.
I saw him on TV today. I did not know he was a part of their coverage.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yep. Sluman, McKeel, and who else?
And then the third one is Daly, when he won his first major, his first win ever, when nobody had heard of him at all. And then he came out there and
Joe was tweeting about how Daly's odds were so massive, and, you know, look at him or something. And I'm thinking, his odds were that when he won, actually. So at least he has that going for him. He was the huge long shot when he won as well.
Be curious to see if were his odds what they are today the same that the year he won. I bet you they'd be close.
No, just like, you know, huge, but
yeah,
cool to see him. 56.
Yeah.
How does he look, Bulldog? I mean, 56.
I think the beard. He's let a few things go. I think is how I would describe Daly's appearance. But you know, he's got a lot of flair.
Oh yeah, he majors in flair. All right. Well,
Tiger was giving a little antidote on the last time the PGA was at Southern Hills, and there was 2 days in a row where the heat index was over 110, and Tiger had said that, you know, what he remembers from that round. He said, "I remember that Daly," he said, "went through 13 Diet Cokes during the course of that 18-hole round." He's like, "I had a bunch of waters," but he goes, "John had 13 Diet Cokes." I'm like, that's a lot of Diet Cokes to drink over the course of a round. I mean, I know you're thirsty. It's 110.
I know you're thirsty.
That's
but
a lot of caffeine.
John.
Yeah, that's
John. I know you're thirsty, but come on.
But I guess, you know, the rest of Daly's health regimen probably, maybe Diet Coke's not number one on the trouble list anyway. He's got some other issues, too.
Well, when you launched into that story and got to 13, I thought you were going to say Tiger said he went through 13 shirts. So I think the Diet Coke's is probably better than 13 shirts.
He probably could have changed his shirt 13 times. I'm sure it was hot that day.
All right, Brian, enjoy the weekend. You've got the Bisons tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to the Bisons. My first game of the year. I'm looking forward to it. And then, I think the Syracuse Mets is their opponent tonight.
Right. Little mound ball?
Wait, tonight?
Yeah, mound ball.
What's mound ball?
So at the end of each half inning, will the ball end up on or off the mound?
Oh, okay. I like that.
Mound ball?
I'll get in on that tonight. I think I got a couple of people that I'll be with that would be in for that.
Will the third base umpire make a gesture during the course of one inning? Will he make any calls at all? There's that one. Greg Bauk and I played the moon bet. Where is the moon when the game ends? Like over what sign? On the fence. The fireworks, there'll be fireworks tonight. The last color is another one. Just some ideas if you get bored.
I like it. Bauk has always said he thinks he can win that hot dog challenge, the one per inning. It seems so easy, but I guess maybe nine would add up after a while.
What? 13 Diet Cokes, 9 hot dogs. What is this hot dog challenge?
I've seen it before. Even on social media, or fans go to the games and they challenge, like, you know, their friend that they're with. Just one hot dog per inning. That's it.
One hot dog per inning. Bulldog, could you do it?
Nine hot dogs by the end of the game.
That is an easy pop fly for me.
Wow.
Easy.
Nice. Nine hot dogs.
So what is that? Nine hot dogs over maybe like a 2.5 to 3 hour window?
With
it's
beer?
Embarrassing to me how easy that would be.
With beer?
I think nine hot dogs instantly would be easier than nine hot dogs over 2.5 hours, right? Because isn't it when it you let the food settle, you get full quicker. I don't know, right?
Buy the nine and then just take your time.
I'm just telling you, I could do it. I'm not having a beer with each one because that would be ridiculous and not very healthy.
Nine beers.
But I think I don't know. I gotta get to a game and we'll find out. I think I could do it.
Health enters the equation.
Yes.
Go with a Diet Coke with each hot dog.
There we go.
Brian. Nine Diet Cokes.
Have fun tonight.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Tiger at +3. McIlroy down to -3. Three back of the leader, Justin Thomas. Mike Schoep and the Bulldogs. Stay tuned. This is WGR.
People loved you when you did golf.
Oh, my God.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so good.
You know what I say to those people?
Yeah.
Well, Eli did it on a Manning cast at one point. I'm not going to do it again. Let's look at our scoreboard.
Why, Joe? Why? Why? Just because, you know, I told you yesterday that I pulled a muscle sprinting for the remote for the mute button when that started yesterday. Why does it make sense? It's phony and it doesn't even make sense. The other guy, Michael Collins' name, says people loved you when you did golf. And what is Joe Buck saying? That he wants to flip them off? What doesn't even make sense? It's like this attempted humor. It doesn't even work.
I didn't even really
I was on in here for 30 seconds yesterday before I couldn't take it.
Yeah, I haven't clicked on it. No interest.
His first thing was, so when I met with my superiors at ESPN, they told me, just don't talk about the golf. Oh, sure. That's right. That's why we have this extra broadcast with you for 5 hours a day after they're paying you $90 billion to do games. That makes sense. Sure. That's self-deprecating. I'm buying it. I'm sure they didn't want you to talk about the tournament while you were broadcasting the tournament.
Right.
I mean, he's got to be on everything. I don't know. Tom Brady, Joe Buck, I can't find peace in the world. Like, there's just, I have to just, I don't know. If I want to watch sports, I'm stuck. They got to be on everything. And I got a Brady roast. And I got what now? Why, Joe? Why on a Friday you have to do that?
Everything is wrong. I completely forgot. Like, I knew he was going to do this thing, whatever, the golf Manning cast, for lack of a better way to put it, but zero interest in watching it. I'd forgotten that he did do golf when Fox had the U.S. Open, right? That's where he did golf.
Yeah.
How many years ago that was? We were working together, I think.
The last several.
Yeah, man.
You know? Greg Norman was with him, right?
Sure, that sounds right. Yeah. Mm. Wow. I blacked that completely out of my memory.
All right. Roger Angel has died. Roger Angel, considered, I think, widely the greatest all-time baseball writer, was 101, tweeting about him a little bit, just read his obituary from the New York Times, just a giant. If you remember the Ken Burns series, Roger Angel is prominent in that. I mean, 101 years old, had an incredible life and career. And I just found out his stepfather was E.B. White in this obit. That blows my mind. So that's a new one for me. Anyway, he wrote hundreds if not thousands of pieces. One on Bob Gibson is famous, and that's how I came to know about Roger Angel, was from reading that, like a magazine piece.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also where I sort of fell for Gibson, was in this article. And then I would later meet Gibson, and just like it started with Roger Angel for me. So, you know, great loss. Hall of Fame. Legendary writer.
Yeah, I gotta go look and see how many, if any. I mean, he wrote many, many, many highly praised books about baseball as well. And I'll bet I gotta have something on. There was a time, maybe in the mid '90s, when I was just soaking up baseball books. So I have a bunch on the shelf in the office here. But
yeah, I want to read some of him this weekend, too.
Yeah.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Paul Hamilton at 5:30 Eastern, talking about the Amerks win. We've got open lines, 803-0550, having some fun today, lots of different things, golf, football. The comeback player of the year award was the first, 40 minutes, and just why it's weird and doesn't really work. So if you want to hear any of our shows that you missed, go to the Odyssey app or WGR550.com. Back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.